from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our picks, keeping track of our time, looking up any pertinent information we might need and helping us to produce the show tonight. You know him as Mr. Electricity. We call him Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and bellied up to the bar, a man who just proclaimed that he made one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind out on my deck. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Armstrong.
That's Travis right, shot from his hip on that one. Because Freddie got his Moonwalker shoes on tonight.
I do.
He got them Air Buzz Aldrins on.
Air Buzz. These are my, in case you didn't know it, Snoop Dogg. There's a cool story about how he got in, and now he is the spokesperson for
Skechers.
Skechers. I think Skechers makes a good product. You know what I'm saying?
Do those shoes allow you to ride the big boy roller coasters at the theme park?
Yes, they do. I can now ride the beast, Daddy.
Those shoes do make them about 6'2".
I think it's just the sole. I'm not sure. It's just the way the sole is. It looks like it's a Moonwalker. But these are called the Snoop Dog Slide In Skecher Skate Moonwalkers.
The trajectory of Snoop Dogg going from being on writing a song about murder in the first degree was what they gave me while being on trial to doing the Olympics and riding horses with Martha Stewart,
yes,
and whoever else to making orthopedic shoes for Skechers.
Yeah, now being Skechers.
If you'd have told 12-year-old Tuna what's where Snoop would be at in 2024,
I know.
Wouldn't be
he
able to wrap
my head
around
it. He had to meet with
the
owner of Skechers, and he said, dude's a cool bro, man. I had to jump on the schnizzle with him. He was like, it's a cool story if you ever can look it up and hear him give the interview. I think it's on that show with the two NBA players where they puff up during the show and everything, the old Lakers.
I have no idea.
They have their own
was it Rick Fox?
Podcast show, and he is on there, and the story is hilarious how he goes into it. And he's like, man, I have full power to do whatever I want for Skechers now. So
apparently he was pretty high when he designed those.
Yeah, baby.
Speaking of designs, over here behind the bar is a Florida International and Sam Houston game.
Go, Sam.
Look
Houston
at the uniforms
State.
That Florida International has. It's the Miami Vice uniforms.
Oh, yeah. They were talking
they
about those
last
week.
They even got the field and the
yep.
turquoise and pink, or teal and pink.
Yep, they were talking about those last week.
Well, I got news for you, Crockett. They're not going to win.
Well, maybe, but they're going to look good losing. Something you know about.
Oh, baby.
Before we jump into this.
I look bad losing.
Before we jump into this, want to remind everybody we are on social media at Twitter, X, at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search engine. Also, this is episode 99, fellas.
Whoa!
This is episode 99.
Does it feel like it, Jody?
In 20 years, we'll be making shoes with Skechers.
Episode 100 comes up next week. We will be at Czechs in Germantown. Hope to see some familiar faces there.
What time is that at? 6?
We have the room from 6 to 10, and we're going to start recording about normal time, about 7:30, 7:45.
Okay. Yep. So please come up there. It should be a lot of fun. We're going to have some merchandise available, I think. Might even be able to get on the air with us if you have a question or two. But should be a lot of fun. Very much looking forward to that. That is next Wednesday, correct?
The day Sparky, before Halloween. Yes.
So next Wednesday at Chex, show up at 6. We should start recording around 7:30. Should be a lot of fun. Last week was not a great week for our picks, fellas.
It was a crazy week of games.
I went
humbling.
I went 0-3. Let me look back at our I've got them written down on our picks here somewhere.
Where's your secretary?
Here it is. I went 0-3. Colin went 1-2. Freddie went 1-2, but did go 2-0 on his unders. Tuna went 0-4, and Jody went 0-4. That is in the 99th episode of our show. That is easily the single worst week we have ever had in picks.
I think your daughter was down here and changed those numbers around.
I'll be honest with you. I like the camaraderie of this. It's like, you know what? One man's going down. We're all going down together,
you
boys.
Know what? You know,
Fred had to try to show us up and get a win. What an asshole.
Yeah, and dude, I almost lost that because Army let Southern Miss, who just fired their coach, come back and damn near break that spread. But dude, look. And I'll let Travis send this back to you. But I think when we were watching games Saturday, it was, I think I named this week as like the week of reckoning. It was just a crazy week where teams that you thought were going to win and do well just didn't. And there was a lot of controversial calls involved that screwed a lot of people. And it was a very weird week of football in the college game, in my opinion.
Well, it was. And maybe there wasn't any weirder score to the nation than Indiana, 56-7 over the vaunted black shirts of Nebraska. And as we've been saying on this podcast for at least the last 2 weeks, and I'll say it again, Indiana will line up against anybody in the country and punch you in the mouth. And all we heard last week from a national...
Not nice, just try playing football.
From a national standpoint was... Well, this is the time when Indiana's finally playing a defense that's going to show blah, 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 blah.
Still a Big Ten team.
I mean, it was the most dominating performance of a supposed decent team that I can ever remember Indiana having in my lifetime.
I think we all had money on them. We just didn't tell everybody. Everybody already knows we're betting IU.
Yes, we always all do. It's
the
been
savior of the season.
It's been the easiest money you could make for most of the games.
Every game.
Every game.
They covered every game.
Every single game.
Yeah. Right. The week one, you had to get them early because the line went up by the end of the week. But I think we all had them.
Other than that, I think Charlotte and Biff Pogi was the only team to come close to covering.
There's two teams.
Because I remember sweating that one out.
Two teams that I heard of today, I think, that are undefeated that have covered every game. Army and IU.
It's really quite something. And Curtis Rourke hurt his thumb. He had some sort of a surgery today. They think his time to come back is a week or two. I think they probably just had to reattach his nail or whatever they do from that standpoint.
Just a Lee press on.
But Indiana was
you still make those?
Was great again, and that's about all I have to say about that. Of course, you got these two idiots talking behind me that I may or may not be able to get that out in the mix. But with all that being said,
this is what happens when you win so big that it's almost boring. I mean,
well, I didn't think it was boring. I thought it was
I didn't
fantastic.
Either. I had an absolute blast watching that game. And I watched that whole game beginning to end, the first IU game I've ever been able to watch and listen to. And, man, were the accolades flying on at halftime, before the game, and definitely after, from some coaches that have been there, done that. I'm telling you, I mean, and there was enough accolades going around that game day is in Indiana.
Yeah, should be super cool. Game day this weekend. Indiana welcomes Washington in, who was, for those of you who listened last year, know that Washington was my de facto team that I rooted for all year last year.
Isn't that crazy ironic?
Yeah. I no longer have that rooting interest.
Do you still have you gonna wear the shirt?
I still wear the shirt. I still love the shirt, yeah. But I will not be wearing it this week, nor will I be wearing it this weekend.
Maybe you should put a scarecrow in it and hang it up at your tailgate.
I am not superstitious like that, Fred.
Okay.
But quickly, we did talk last week. We knew that Louisville was climbing up a big hill against Miami. That game was wildly entertaining. I was flipping back and forth between that and the IU game quite a bit. Obviously, that game was more entertaining from a who's going to win this game standpoint. But, Tuna, did it play out about how you thought? And what are your thoughts going forward with Louisville after they come up a little bit short on Saturday against the Hurricanes?
Man, if you listen to this show at all, like the past 6-7 weeks, like it's the same shit this week. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's not improving. It's not getting better. It's the same dumb shit. I don't know any other way to explain this. We could have won the game. We should have won the game, I think. It was just. I'm not going to blame this on the officials. It's
even though you got screwed on a couple.
Well,
calls.
That but the big one was the fumble that was returned for a touchdown. But you can't start that game off by fumbling the kickoff and giving up a touchdown out the gate.
I know.
You know what I mean? You're fighting an uphill battle after that. But at the end of the day, Cam Ward is the best quarterback in college football, and every person down here has to agree with that statement.
He made some unbelievable
like he is just
plays.
On a different level than everyone else because he was dead to rights over and over again, and that's week after week with him. They get to him. That offensive line for Miami is not very good, really.
No, and but he can move and throw on the run and pretty much make any throw you want him to.
That and, you know, those two running backs, they gashed us. Damian Martinez, we knew he was, you know, obviously the big stud for Oregon State last year transferring down there.
Right.
I think he got in the end zone by carrying 5 Cardinals in on his back on one play, which if I'm Jeff Brohm, I'm playing that clip on a loop in the weight room. I'm making sure that not one of those kids forget that happened to them.
Yeah.
That's
you all definitely had trouble tackling.
And I don't get it.
Game.
I don't get it. There was talk before the season
to
started.
Too low. You try to hit people.
Every situation is completely different.
Who am I to say what you all do bad?
I think we do a little bit of everything bad. It's just sporadic. You know what I mean? It's
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But going into the season, like there was talk and the talent's there that this could be one of the best defenses in Louisville football history. And talent wise, I can kind of see where it's in the discussion, but something's not clicking to where these guys aren't following through. It's just not there. It's driving me nuts. I mean, we're looking. Any Louisville fans listening to this, we're looking at a 6-6 season. And that's, in my opinion, best case scenario. I mean, when you look at it, we've got Pittsburgh left, which could easily be a loss. Boston College this Friday, which could be a loss at Boston College on a Friday night. If we can't tackle Cam Ward, we're not going to tackle
on a Friday night.
Yeah, Castellanos, and then we go to Clemson.
There's only going to be 12 people at the BC game.
And then, yeah, but still, they're, I don't know.
I know what you mean. No, you're right. I mean, it.
That's what gets you, is when you're on a road game at night and there's no fans there and our players don't give a shit.
Right, I get it.
You know what I mean? They don't get it. You just get lulled into it.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
It's I don't know.
You'd play, yeah, you'd almost want it to be full.
We're going to have to hope and pray to get six wins out. Honestly, what we could end up at the end of the year on Thanksgiving weekend is a 5-6 Louisville team going in to play a 5-6 Kentucky team and those two teams playing for a shit bowl game.
Right. Oh, my.
Yeah. Right. God bless. This is where we're at, boys.
Plan to go.
Thank God I got basketball season to look at. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yes. But
let's talk.
Y'all are going to play to go to Memphis.
I want to go to another miserable human being and get his thoughts on the Alabama game.
Okay, coming over. come over to this miserable son of a bitch.
We're just swapping foxhole stories
we've
right
been,
now.
I've been waiting for this since Saturday, so Freddie?
Well, I went to a big Bama football party that I haven't been to in a while. Usually I'm watching it with a bunch of people that want me to lose or don't really care when we're at my house. But I finally said, I'm heading, while people were at my house watching the games and filtering in, I was headed to a part. To my buddy Bama Dan's, who I felt like I was at Saban's house and with all the memorabilia and everything. It was pretty awesome. One thing that I loved about watching this game until it started was that he has four TVs in his basement and outside on his deck. And there were probably 40 people there. It was a keg party. And every single TV was on Bama, Tennessee the whole time. He was not at my house. We're always changing games. Which one do you want to watch? What should we put it on?
Yeah, it's a man that knows how to relax and watch a game.
He's like, if you're at my house, it's Bama, Tennessee until it's over.
God, you need to take notes from this guy.
So I was So speaking of a pinball, of course, I'm going to different TVs to find the one that we're finally going to do well on. So I was moving around to different TVs. Oh, yeah. It works that way with me.
Okay.
And you know what, Tuna? I couldn't find one.
Yeah. Maybe you got to start watching at Best Buy. They got a wall of TVs.
I do not. Yeah.
Jerry goes to Fred's in Best Buy with a lawn chair and his Vegas cup full of High Noon. Like, what are you doing, sir? I'm just checking out the ball
game. No,
that's
where you go.
I need to get the Bama game on that LG over there.
That's where you watch undefeated teams. They would send me to Radio Shack to watch Bama. So
you're driving around for a while finding one of them.
This game, I tell you what. I just don't understand what is going on. I mean, I would love to be able to break it down after watching it a second time, but my heart starts hurting. I feel like Fred Sanford.
It's too many High Noons.
But, dude, how in the world can you have three interceptions and the very next play Three and out on three interceptions? I don't think in Bama the last 20 years that's ever happened. And Milroe is still lost out there. I feel like we're just looking for the deep ball. Oh, by the way, we're only allowed to throw it to the 17-year-old sensation. We were not allowed to throw to anybody else on the Bama team.
We got to
throw it to Pretty Boy. Okay, apparently, you know how many times he was targeted? 18. Mm-hmm. 18 times. You got to be kidding me. Now, he can make things happen. He did have a touchdown. He had 80 yards. He had a bunch of catches.
He's kind of the reason you beat Georgia.
But, dude, our defense played well enough to win that ball game. And, of course, we did some stupid things at the end. They got a couple long plays on us. But the fact of the matter is, here again, we didn't win that game because our offense could not score any points. Then on one of the interceptions, we come down and can't even make the field goal with the Ray Guy Award winner. You know, the best kicker in the country. Dude, like I'm like you, Tuna. It's frustrating because I feel like we have no identity.
It's the right guy
we
for punters.
Still have, yeah, I think it is.
Okay,
who's the kicker? Who is the kicker?
I don't know. I should know because
Lou Groza.
That's Lou Groza. Louisville actually has a Lou Groza.
Lou Groza. But, dude, like, I don't understand. Like, it's the same thing. At least Louisville can put points on the board. Hell, they got one of our players that's scored more touchdowns than anyone on our team. But it is just –
Guys were lining up against Jacksonville State.
It is really mind-boggling because Alatula Uala did not play well. He did not play well at all
in that game.
And – it was just, dude, I mean, I don't even know what to say. It was just like, it was an absolute mess. Time of possession just rolls along. We never have the ball long enough to do anything. It's a wonder our defense isn't getting blown out. And then, of course, was there a bad call in the game? Damn shit right there was. 58 seconds to go, offsides by 2 feet. And the refs somehow miss it when they're wearing fluorescent orange. And then, of course, lastly, we have no discipline. And that is, there's a lot of teams that don't have discipline.
Oh, I agree.
But I can tell you one thing. There's never been any better of having discipline than down in Tuscaloosa. And that is now gone. And that left with the Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this coach is everybody's buddy. I feel like they're not used to having pressure like this. They're not used to being second-guessed so much and not being able to get back on track and have time to do it.
Can I expand on this for just one
second?
Please do.
You saw the push that we had.
The lack of discipline is not just a Louisville and Bama thing. This is probably more of it across college football than I've ever seen. Kentucky Indiana's probably the most disciplined team I've seen.
For sure.
Without a doubt, out of the four of us down here. But what do you think that it is? Do you think, like, it's the transfer coming in and these guys not playing together?
I don't know, because most of these players that are playing for – now, it makes sense that Travis has that guy. That is.
It makes sense that Travis has that guy.
Now that he has Cignetti. I'm trying to get his facial expression.
Just say, "Hey,
here.
Travis, look what over is, here."
He's like looking away or something.
Hey, Fred, real quick, Travis, did we check the battery pack in the defibrillator? Because if Freddie keeps going, we might need to use that before the night's over.
Well, but what I'm saying is Cignetti is – they are the most disciplined team that I've seen. And I'll tell you one reason why, and I think it's not common – I mean, it's common sense – is they have older players that have been there, done that.
But they haven't been at IU.
But you know,
see, that's what I think the issue is. You got all these new players coming in and intergraining themselves with like some of the guys that's been there for a long time.
Well, we
I don't know
a lot
if
of freshmen.
There's
no
issues in the
it.
Locker room. That explains your problem.
But we do have a
when
lot
you
of
got
freshmen
a bunch of
play.
Freshmen and sophomores and redshirt freshmen, right. That's gonna be undisciplined
I
mess.
Know, I
like
know.
That explains.
But,
Bama.
But a 4-year senior,
I'm talking
is the one
across
that did,
college
but a 4-year
football.
Senior Kendrick Law is the one that did the punt.
Yeah,
did the punch.
And he's probably frustrated because everybody else is screwing
now,
up.
Now the Tennessee player did swing back at his face mask, and that could have been a double no call, but of course that didn't happen either. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. He did it. He let the guy get in his ear and get to him. And anyways, so here we are. with two losses and Missouri coming to and getting ready to play a Missouri team that can that has not looked good, but can beat anyone on a given day.
They look good against bad teams, and so, against good teams, they don't look good. So,
but dude, I told y'all we were going to lose that game against Tennessee on the podcast, and I personally am not. I mean, we're done. You can forget it. We're out. Anyone that thought Milroe was anywhere on any Heisman list is an absolute joke.
Well, I think you're the only one that put him there here.
No. What?
Yeah, who? It was a few weeks ago, and we were listing our Heisman guys who we would put as our top four in the Heisman.
Yeah.
And you had Milroe as your number
one.
You had
him third.
I never had Milroe in any of my Heisman stuff.
Anyways,
ever.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. I could care less about the Heisman.
Nah, I'm with you there. But he has been definitely a letdown. He's played one really excellent game in his whole career, and that was against Michigan in the playoff last year. Other than that, he's just been bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's really baffling. Mm-hmm. So, anyways.
Well, and then the other local team of interest had what, you know, over... You know, the last several years, I think a lot of Kentucky people would, I mean, they're not maybe one of their top rivals, but the Kentucky-Florida game is typically an important game for both teams. It just seemed to kind of progress what we had seen from Kentucky last week, kind of progressed on this week. Jody, what did you think about the Cats and the Gators?
Kind of like Tuna, I don't have a whole lot to say, you know, because I don't understand our defensive issues right now because we look really good, and then we...
Your boy Deion Walker was just standing up. Like, the ball would hike, he would just stand straight up. That's an All-American.
You know, our offensive side of it is, I think, quite obvious. Let us have the same offensive coordinator for, I don't know, 2-3 years in a row. The last 4 years, it's been a different offensive coordinator every year. Defensive, I think some of them have cashed out, man. I don't know. I was shocked the other night. Florida has been playing better. Say week two, I thought it's going to be a cakewalk. And then after last week, I thought it was going to be a much tougher game. But
48 rushing points.
What's that?
48. First time since in like 40 years that someone that someone got 48 points without passing the ball. Yeah. Yeah, it was all rushing, everything.
I'm like Tuna. I'm ready for basketball.
And that's what's questionable about Kentucky. When someone's gonna rush the ball at you that much, you think Kentucky's a team that they're not gonna do that to.
Exactly.
And that's.
When we talked about going into the season, I think one of the things was we said Kentucky's always had the identity of having a big physical running back where they could play defense and then pound the ball, and they don't have that. And they have no identity on offense whatsoever. And the defense, I think, has just thrown their hands up and said, you know what, screw this. I'm done.
I mean, let's be real. They don't have good quarterback play, and you got to have a good quarterback. You got to have an offensive line to help him. But Vandergriff is not a guy that's going to get like Berrien Brown. He may be able to run back punts or kickoffs.
He's a punk,
but he ain't worth a piss as a wide receiver out there. I haven't seen any wide receiver step up for Kentucky.
I think Dan Key has all the talent in the world. There's just something going on there with him that I can't. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand Kentucky yet. I think we're just frustrated. All three of us down here, except for Travis. Travis is having the season of his life, and I'll be honest with you, I love seeing it happen.
I do too.
There's one of my favorite things about sports, period, is when you can sit back and watch a fan base who has had the shit kicked out of them for years and years and years. Actually get to enjoy a season that's just, you know what I mean?
Agree.
When they suffer through all that and they get to like be like, hell yeah, this is what it's about. I love that. I think that's
too.
What makes sports sports.
Saturdays
anymore. I think it's safe to say we all love that.
Saturdays anymore.
We're
like
in
Christmas.
The IU basement,
we
baby.
Are.
The IU game's coming on, you know?
I mean,
And by the way, I should mention that for the first time since 1937, Indiana and Vanderbilt are both ranked in the top 25 in the AP poll.
It's a year Fred had his first communion.
And that's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure because the way Vanderbilt started this game last week, obviously we're not going to get into Vanderbilt football too much, but they did play Ball State.
They got Texas this week.
Watch out, Texas. Watch out, Horns.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Anything else? What other games besides of our local interest? There were, of course, some very big games that took place this last weekend. Quick thoughts on those, Tuna.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go to Texas and Georgia, because that was the biggest game, I don't know if there's quick thoughts on that. That's a lot of thoughts. I mean,
well,
first
of
all,
Texas got smashed in the mouth.
They did, and Quinn Ewers was seeing. This is the most ironic thing that I thought Saturday was about. Did you see the commercials with the Fansville? It was a new one where Quinn Ewers is out with Bosworth, and Bosworth's like, "We need to call for backup," and Ewers is like, "We don't do backup." He's like, "Well, no, we need backup help here," and Ewers is like, "I don't do backup." And it was a whole play on a back. It was a joke on the Archie Manning thing.
I get it.
All right. Well, you were staring at me with question marks on your face. I didn't know if the moon shoes
were
messing with your brain.
That's his normal look.
Well, and then this game comes on like 30 minutes after I see that commercial for the first time.
Yeah.
And
he was, where's the backup?
He was seeing Ghost. Yeah. And like, honestly, he was lost. They had to get him out of there. They really had to get him out of the game to settle him down. Right. And Arch comes in, moves the ball right downfield right away.
He got his butt ringed.
He did, but there
was
progression on offense. I think they had 15 yards of total offense before Arch came in the game. Like,
don't forget, there were a couple Georgia players that have not played the last 2 weeks that played in that game, and they made a difference.
Yeah, it still shouldn't
big
make that big of a difference.
Of the line
I'm with
made,
you.
It was reckoning people.
Yeah, it's still for
now,
that.
What's
all
his
right,
name?
This Texas offensive line is supposed to be one of the top offensive lines in college football. They got punked from start to finish. Like, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But the thing is like Quinn is not like he couldn't run around enough. At least Arch is mobile enough to move the ball a little bit and get the ball down. I don't know. Like, there was no receivers creating separation. They had nothing.
Yeah.
It was insane to watch. I don't know. Obviously I'm not going to overreact to that. I still think Texas has put enough proof on paper to show that they are one of the top three teams in college football. I really believe that. So I look for them to go into Vandy and then pick right back up where they left off. I just thought it was ironic that, like, this first commercial I seen, and then the kid literally had to be pulled out. Now, he came back in after halftime and started, and he looked a lot better. But something had to be done, and I credit Sark for noticing that and being like, look, I could kill this kid's confidence right now by yanking him out of the game, or I just get him over here and be like, hey, he handled that perfectly, I thought.
Well, we also talked about when are they going to switch him up or whatever.
Well, I think I was talking about it, and you guys were looking at me like I was a dipshit for even bringing up the question.
Well, I'm talking about way back when you brought it up. You brought up that there was going to be major issues with the media and everything once Quentin Ewers had a bad game. And
we
they
know
had to
that
put him in. Well, guess what? They did it. They put in Manning, no matter how you want to spin it, he was getting his ass beat, and they put in Manning to try to do better. It was 18-0.
Yeah, even if it was Malik Murphy back there like last year, I still think a backup quarterback would have came in because they were going to have to settle Quinn Ewers.
I don't know about settling a quarterback down. I don't believe.
Yeah. Sometimes you pull him out and let him just watch from the sideline.
I've never heard of that. I think they took him out because he wasn't doing. He was sucking.
Okay.
I mean, he was getting his ass beat.
Right. So I mean, I see your
So
point
I think
on
they
that.
Put in Arch Manning to try to catch up and put points on the board.
Well,
did Milroe get benched in the South Florida game last season?
No, well, that's when we had a quarterback controversy. Mm. For sure, dude.
I didn't know. I'm asking a question. I'm not calling you out. I'm literally just asking.
But we had two other quarterbacks that all started it then.
Okay, I know the transfer.
It wasn't the same thing.
I'm not saying it was, Jerry. Okay. I'm just saying that I don't know. Like, I was asking a legit question.
Right, I got you. Well, I'm answering your legit question.
I think there is.
Smack the shit out of you right now.
I think there's probably, isn't there probably a little bit of both things? I mean, it happens all the time where coaches go, we just had to get him out of there and calm him down a little bit. But in doing that, you're getting the other guy in. Maybe he can give a little spark or whatever. But they weren't putting Archie Manning in my opinion, and being like, he's going the rest of the game.
I don't think that was ever the intention.
Right.
I never said
right.
that.
No.
I'm just saying that, yes, they put him in, and he couldn't get anything done either. So they put the other one back in. So neither one of them could do anything. It was 18-0. They were getting slaughtered. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I saw Texas get their ass beat. I never saw this game close whatsoever. The score doesn't show the ass whooping that they got.
And
neither quarterback could do anything. Neither one of them. So I think it proves that Texas is not as great as everybody thinks they are.
Well, they weren't that night.
They weren't that night. No.
There's very little doubt about that. What else? What other games were?
Well, I think LSU proved that they are a better team than some people think. I mean, they're 6-1.
And we're getting into that area now where these games are now starting to really have potential playoff. You know, now you really have to start looking at that stuff. And LSU and Texas A&M play a huge game this coming weekend with serious playoff implications, right?
Which one?
LSU and Texas A&M.
No, yeah. I mean, Texas A&M is playing good. They're playing good. They did let Mississippi State come up on them, but 34-24, I thought they played pretty good, too.
But Mississippi State has been playing better football. I mean, we talked about that the last couple of weeks. They're not necessarily winning, but they've been competitive against teams that you thought would might run them off the field. So, I mean, just in the that Texas-Vanderbilt game, that's – has Vegas learned anything about Vanderbilt, or do they just think this is a horrible matchup, keeping that spread at 19?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess it's because Texas coming off of a loss, and they figure they're going to come out. I don't know. Got me, buddy.
I mean, I'm really that spread to me looks like a mistake, and maybe it's not, but. I haven't seen anybody that's going to line up with Vanderbilt and go, we're 3 touchdowns better than them, especially on their home field. I don't imagine that Texas fans, like, I wouldn't think that people from Austin, of all places, would go, man, we got to get to Nashville this weekend.
I don't know. I mean, maybe everybody comes to Nashville. I know the Titans, on whenever they have home games, that there's a ton of fans from all over the NFL travel there. So
I kind of consider Austin and Nashville to be
the same
of a similar.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been to Austin.
Of a similar type of.
Maybe they just want to see the Tennessee version of their.
That quarterback can do. I mean, I would love to see what he can do against them. I would love to see what Pavia can do against them.
Well, you're about to at 4:15 on Saturday. That's got a huge. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm buying way too much into Vanderbilt, but I was very surprised to see that line at almost three touchdowns.
Speaking of lines, does anybody know what this over-under on Sam Houston State and FIU is? Is it like 7?
I bet it.
Because it's
42.5. I do think that that on Friday night, another game that was impressive to me, because I think we all said that Oklahoma State was going to give BYU their toughest tough run, at least. I didn't think they were going to win, but I think BYU showed a lot in a close game against someone that I know Oklahoma State's not ranked.
Well, they lucked out at the end.
But they did luck out at the end, but they still pulled through and got the victory. And that was a huge win for them. They're still undefeated. And I think that was their close call, if you will. I know they're going to have it. And I think that Iowa State showed something on coming back in a weird game with Central Florida and winning by 3, because I thought – as that game was on TV and on the ticker, it looked like Central Florida was in control of that game most of the time. And
they were.
I noticed that Iowa State actually came back and won. I'm not sure if that was it looks like they won by 3. I'm not sure if that was a last-second field goal or what. But it looked like that it was that's a big win for another undefeated team. But I think, I mean, as far as the top 20 slate, besides Army and Navy, obviously taking care of business and staying undefeated, yes.
Well, and, I mean, that kind of first of all, before we get into next week's college slate, does anybody have anything to say about the NFL this last weekend?
No, I lost all my players in fantasy football.
I thought Tuna might have something to say.
Well, I mean, half of the best players in the league are hurt.
I don't know what to say.
Well, that your team just rolls into another place that's supposed to be a big game.
In reality, though, I mean, San Francisco's banged up, and I mean, I know we're banged up too, but Andy Reid coming off of a bye week, he just always wins those games. It's just how it is. I mean, not to sound arrogant there, but I mean, what's his record in bye weeks coming off of bye weeks? It's like, what, 13-1 or something?
We talked about that before.
It is what it is. But, I mean, you had two teams that were extremely banged up. It was a sloppy, ugly game that they just kept throwing interception after interception. Neither team really deserved to win. Kansas City just ran the ball a little bit better than they did. That's all it came down to. I'm still not optimistic moving forward unless we trade for a wide receiver. So,
is that right?
I'm not. Like, this team, like, Patrick Mahomes is struggling. We're running the ball and playing defense, and how much longer is that going to last? You know, like, you can't win in the playoffs. When you look at all these offensive juggernauts throughout the NFL, there's just no way that we can keep up with them.
Now, is this a legitimate take that you're giving me here? Or
no,
is
it's
this
100% legitimate. I would have swore by now that we would have traded for a wide receiver, and it hasn't happened yet.
Who do you think you all will look at?
I thought we were going to get Deontay Johnson.
I did too.
That's not going to happen. I thought that Darius Slay would be an opportunity. He's the kind of move Kansas City would make because he's not a big name. He's, you know.
What about Hopkins?
Yeah, Hopkins is available.
I don't see that happening because Kansas City doesn't make big splash moves, and we tried to sign him before, and he decided to go with the Titans over us. So I don't know.
Well, that worked out very well.
Cooper Kupp was the hot name earlier today. They're shopping him around. They want a second-round pick for him. He's 31 and had a ton of injuries. I don't think he's worth a second-round pick. But I guess they're offering to pay part of his salary. He's due to make $20 million next year. So I don't know. That's just not a move that Kansas City's going to make. So any kind of second or third tier receiver that would be out there. I thought Amari Cooper would be the guy that they would get, but Buffalo beat them to it. So it is what it is. I don't know. They'll figure something out, and we'll see what happens. But I don't foresee a third straight Super Bowl unless we get some sort of offensive production besides the run game.
And the reason I was asking if that was a legitimate take, or maybe you were just trying to do some reverse psychology, is that I still haven't figured out if your Dodgers take was a legitimate take or a reverse psychology take when you were talking about the pitching staff.
Mm-hmm. No, it's bad. I still stand by that. I honestly will stand by that. Like, when you're going into a World Series and you made it through a NLCS with Walker Buehler, Yamamoto, a rookie, and Flaherty, who has struggled throughout October, and you keep advancing. Those are legit the only three starters on that rotation. Everything else is bullpen games. And we've honestly been winning the bullpen. I think we're 50% in the bullpen games. So that's just – like, if we can't put up 9-10 runs a game, then I don't know. But the thing is, it's not like these games have been close. Here's the thing with the Mets that people don't realize. This is why I was more concerned about the Padres than the Mets. When I had my take about the pitching staff, it was in a 5-game series against the Padres.
Right.
That was factual. I didn't think that we'd make it out of that series. When we go into the Mets, this is something, a stat that nobody even really looked at. The Mets walk more players in baseball. They walk 38 Dodgers how long did that go? Six games?
Six, yeah.
38 Dodgers in a six. They put 38 guys on base. With the way that we hit the ball, you can't give free bases to the Dodgers.
No.
So the Mets, the way the Dodgers get at the plate and they make you throw strikes, I knew the Mets were going to struggle with that. I didn't think it would be to that extent, but I felt if we could get some freebies on base and then we get some of our guys to hit clutch, our clutch guys were not the ones. It was Tommy Edman and Kike Hernandez, and that carried over. Tommy Edman, I think, got NLCS MVP. He's been incredible throughout.
And that Kike was awesome all over the
field.
Dude,
I didn't know he was such a good fielder, man. He's awesome.
Not. He is in postseason.
Is he really?
Yeah, okay. Postseason he's really good.
Just a gamer.
Yeah, he shows up at the big moments. I don't understand it because everywhere he's been with the Dodgers before, and it was very mediocre until we got in the playoffs, and then he was clutch throughout. Him and Justin Turner were about the only real clutch players that we had. And then I guess he went to the Red Sox, and I think he's been a few other places, and he just could not match the type of production that he has in October. And sure enough, October rolls around, he picks right back up. But I don't know. I just
seems like Chill Wills.
I don't know how to handicap this World Series with the Yankees. It's I think you have two evenly matched teams that are just the edge to the starting pitchers for the Yankees, the edge to the bullpen to the Dodgers. So I feel like if we can get to their rotation early and get their bullpen early on in the series and force that, I'd give advantage Dodgers if they're able to go out and get, you know, 6-7 innings each night, advantage Yankees. And it's really whoever's hitting there, because anybody can put up a lot of runs on these teams. The Dodgers have been outscoring the Yankees in this postseason so far. A credit to Giancarlo Stanton. He looks like he did in Miami. He's maybe he needs October baseball to start performing again.
Yeah, maybe.
They play head to head this year a couple times.
I think they played two games in LA, I believe, and that was early on.
I didn't know how many times y'all played each other.
No, we did interleague with We did interleague with the AL East this year, so we did play. I think it was just two with them, three with Boston, couple with Toronto, Baltimore, and all that.
But yeah,
it's I don't know.
Chill Will's getting hot.
Well, yeah, he's hit a home run. He's got two home runs in the postseason.
Game six he was, but he's batting 100.
Yeah, he's struggling at the plate. He has two home runs in this postseason, and that's about the extent of – but he grind out at bats, and that's the big thing that you want.
And I was about to say, two clutch hits in the postseason, no matter what you've done otherwise, can sure as hell make you feel like you're hot.
Yeah.
Or you're, coming up clutch or whatever, because, like you said, as long as you make the big at-bat, you make the big hit – that's what everybody remembers, not the fly outs, yeah. the ground outs in the middle of the game. It's when there's guys on base and you make the big play.
I think what I look for is each at bat to just make the pitcher work as hard as he can for that particular at bat. That's all I want. And if they don't get a hit, they get sat down on a strikeout, I'm fine with that. Just make that pitcher earn everything.
Right.
And they've been doing that. They did that, especially against Manea in game six. He looked like a different person than he did all postseason, and the Dodgers really made him work. So, and a lot comes down to it, man. If Yamamoto or Buehler, like, each of them have these specialty pitches that they have to locate. Like Walker, if he doesn't have that cutter locating just right, he's done. Like, he's in his head, and it's over with. But if he comes out and it's hitting right, then you got a completely different Walker Buehler.
I try to watch him when he's on because he is from Lexington. But there's games I see him pitch, and I'm like, I can't believe he's a pro because he doesn't have
yeah.
that. I mean, he looks so bad. But then there's other games. I mean, obviously.
That's
why he's in the starting
when game. He's able to locate that the right way. Like, the other night when he pitched, what was it, game three or whatever? It was the first time that he's thrown that slider with 2 foot of break, over 2 foot of break for over 80 miles an hour, over 90 miles an hour. He's done it. 3 times in his career, and all of them were that night. Like, he's never done that before, where he's gotten that much break with that kind of velocity before. So when he's able to do that, he's unhittable. The thing is that doesn't happen night in and night out. So
must have had a little KY on that ball.
Yeah, whatever it takes, a little jalapeno, get the nose running, Bardol.
Put snot on the ball.
Yeah. Not to go away from baseball, I got a scoring update. Sam Houston State, FIU, they were inside the 5 and had 7 chances to get in the end zone, and they stopped them on the half-yard line. So it's still 0-0. 53 seconds left to go in the first half.
And I'm,
it's Tuesday night Conference USA football. If this was a MAC game, it'd be 50-52 by now.
Yeah, and the other game going on, they're – even worse than these two. Now, Sam Houston, they're a pretty good team, but they're ever since Western beat them, they got problems.
Well, they showed their kicker. It was 4th and goal at the 4. They show the kicker, and he's not going in, so they go for it. Defensive pass interference, so they tried it 4 more times and couldn't get in.
So when is the first World Series game?
Friday night.
Friday
night. Okay.
Friday night, Saturday night, and then they travel for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So game
Wednesday, Thursday.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Game 5 is Thursday, game 6.
They're off Sunday, so they play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's Friday and Saturday in L.A., they off Sunday travel day, New York, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay, Monday, Wednesday.
So game 5 will be played at New York while we're recording our podcast at Chex.
On Wednesday. But shit, that game probably doesn't, the first pitch probably until what, 8:30 or something like that anymore.
8:08. They have been getting everything out of the way, starting at 7:45-ish and getting them going. So
they're moving back towards or trying to get away, because I can remember some of those games, first pitch be like 9:03.
Yeah, you're pissing off a lot of the East Coast fan base when it happens like that.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
The good thing is that Major League Baseball got exactly what they wanted. They have the biggest fan base on the East Coast and the biggest fan base on the West Coast. And
the Blue Bloods.
Yeah, so.
I'm looking at the schedule right here.
Mm-hmm.
Game 6 is next Friday, the 1st.
And we're going to be in Clemson.
And game 7
is that Saturday night. That's what the dilemma that I've already brought up is that if the – because the Louisville-Clemson game may not – if it's a night game – there's no way that I can sit in at a football game in Clemson while Game 7 of a World Series is going on. if Louisville's undefeated, but like we're playing to go to either the Belk Bowl or the, you know, Tax Slayer Bullshit Bowl. So I'm going to go into, I'm going to tailgate with you guys. I'm going to go into the game, look at the stadium, give everybody high fives. I'm going out and then heading somewhere to watch the World Series, which hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully it's just not a Game 7.
But understandable.
Or Louisville plays a 3:30 game. You know, that's, or a noon game. That's probably the best bet. So
I was going to ask, have they, so they haven't announced what time
we're on
that
a flex schedule
yet?
Right, okay. Now. So, which is, I don't even know. It's bullshit. So,
we're trying to figure it out.
We'll find out 6 days before the game starts.
So, right.
Yep. So I don't know. I'm going to play it by ear, but I think I've already made up my decision on how I'm going to handle that. If there is a game set.
Well, I don't think there would be any.
Yeah,
other way
I mean,
you
what would
it.
You guys do?
I would do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Well, I remember Oktoberfest a couple years ago in Cincinnati. Jerry was carrying around my phone watching the Bama football game on my phone while we were walking around downtown Cincinnati. So there's always that option.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Gotcha.
I can't, especially a World Series. I'll stroke out. Hopefully it's just not even that. It's hopefully let's just wrap it up in four real quick. But
well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe you'll just blow them right out of the water and you won't even have to worry about it. And it can be just a complete celebratory trip.
Yeah.
To Clemson. You won't even care who wins that game. You can wear your Dodger hat and,
maybe like, they'll just close it out at Game 5 while we're recording the podcast and everybody can celebrate that night.
That would be yeah, even better, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That would be my favorite thing. Yeah, Fred.
There were a couple other games that were very, I don't want to talk about them, but there were some shockers out there. Like UCLA is finally come back to life and are starting to beat teams, which I think is funny. I thought it was interesting that Michigan State beat Iowa, a team that has basically nobody, beat the a good Iowa team. I also found it interesting that Colorado dismantled Arizona.
Arizona
is now
is,
going downhill.
Arizona's
you,
season
you
is
and
gone
I
into
talked
the
about
tank.
Maryland beating USC, which was surprising. Some of these teams that you all have beat badly are starting to win. UCLA, I find it crazy that Baylor put 60 on Texas Tech, who was 6-1. And then, of course, well, UNLV won a good one against, but Utah has just fallen off the map. But just some of these other, games intrigue me a little bit on other schools. NC State came back and beat Cal, a good defensive Cal team. I just found that interesting. South Carolina goes to Oklahoma and wins 35-6. That was a shocker. For sure.
Oklahoma's just a really bad football team this year.
And then old Satterfield comes in and beats Arizona State, who was 5-1 at the time.
Hey, did you see that press conference after the game, the Arizona State head coach?
I did.
No.
He was like, this is to all the full-time students at Arizona State. We have open tryouts on Monday for a kicker. I don't care who you are. If you can kick a ball, come try out because we don't have one.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually very funny. Of course, he did come out the next day and walked it back, and he was like, I was just very frustrated in the moment. But I think they still were going to have open tryouts.
That would be cool, dude. Go for it. See what you can do.
But with all that being said, we've got a full slate of games coming up this week and some very big ones. We already mentioned locally, Washington comes to Bloomington to play Indiana. Indiana as a 6.5-point favorite. Last time I looked, Curtis Rourke will not play. which I don't think is going to make one bit of difference this weekend. Kentucky plays Auburn in a game that it's not going to move any sort of needle. Alabama plays Missouri, I believe.
Yeah.
Louisville plays
BC,
Boston College.
I think this Thursday night game is going to be crazy. Syracuse at Pitt. I think Syracuse is a team that might be able to mess with them a little bit. That's on Thursday night.
Yep, and Friday night, I think the Fox on Friday night.
Friday night's crazy games.
But Fox on Friday night has, you know, the Big Ten or whatever. So the Fox Friday night game kicks off at 11 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah. Yeah. Rutgers at USC.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because it's coming on after the Dodger, after the World Series.
After the World Series.
Which I read a thing about that earlier today that a Fox, I'm trying to remember exactly how this was said, but there was a TV or several TV executives that had planned this early in the season. They said there's a chance that we could piggyback off of a New York LA World Series game and go right into a college football game with the LA and New York market. And it happened to work out. So sometimes the suits aren't all bad, I guess.
Well, they helped rig it.
Also, that Friday night, Boise at UNLV should be an interesting game.
Oh, that's one of the biggest.
That's a big game.
Group of four games ever.
Yeah, they're doing the 12-team projection right now over there. With IU being the second team out, not making it in so far. That's
right. Yeah. This is all done. This is based on where you're at right now. Not like they're not projecting forward. They're saying if it was today, these are the teams.
This Illinois at Oregon game looks crazy. I think Penn State with a Wisconsin team that's improving going to camp. Randall will be interesting.
Wisconsin's certainly been playing better football. There's no question.
Right. And I still think Texas going to Vandy's going to be hysterical. Like, that's just a funny game to me.
Well,
coming off a loss like that, Vandy, that being the crafty little team they are, I just think it's going to be a funny game to watch.
And I think we talked about the Navy-Notre Dame game as being one that everyone around here, I think, is at least moderately interested in. Because if you haven't watched Navy or Army play this year, they're not the same as they always are. Even though they've been decent in the past, these are two really, really good football teams and
great defenses on both of them.
This might be, I'm not sure who Notre Dame closes the season out with. Do they play Army as well?
No, they got USC and Stanford. Did they play Stanford yet? I know they close out with USC, but they've got a pretty easy schedule.
Well, USC is awful.
Yeah, but it's still, I think, the toughest team that they have to play. 12.5, 13.5, what is it?
Navy's a 13-point dog.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I love the under in that game.
I mean, Fred, I don't know how much you want to get into the nuts and bolts of 5-2 Alabama against 6-1 Missouri, which is kind of weird.
No, I mean, hey, we can lose that game easy.
They're two touchdown favorites, Bama is. But, I mean, honestly, how do you feel that game go? I mean, just your honest gut
opinion.
Well,
right now, the quarterback for Missouri can't do hardly anything. Their offense is not doing anything, but neither is ours. I don't know. I mean, I can't figure out this Alabama team to save my life. So I really don't know. This is new territory for me. I really do not know what another a ranked team coming into Alabama beating us for our third loss. It could easily happen. So I think it's going to be another tough game. I'm not kidding. I mean, I don't know what their defense is like, but I know their offense. I mean, I feel like it's the same game as Tennessee, except Tennessee's a little bit better than is better than Missouri. But it's two teams that were struggling coming in is what Bama and Tennessee was. And that game showed not a lot of points on the board until the end. And I think this game's going to be a carbon copy of that.
So if I had to, I mean, if I said you have to pick Bama, Missouri, which team covers, who
do
you
got? I would
say
Bama by six.
All right, you got Bama, but winning, but not
Bama,
covering.
Right, by maybe three. Two field goals.
Tuna, what's your gut feeling about that Bama-Missouri game?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't even really care about it. I'll be honest with you.
It's not going to matter. I mean, we're down. We got two losses. We're not even in the playoff right now.
Well, I mean, I guess they would probably have to win out, right?
Definitely. With two losses, you got to win out.
Yeah. Jody, if you had to tell me Kentucky Auburn, who's going to win the game? Who's going to cover? Kentucky is a 2.5-point favorite. Who you got in that big Titanic matchup?
I want to tell you, I was sitting with a guy last night that's a 22-year season ticket holder, and he goes, we're not even driving down. Auburn wins that game. We look bad. We have no answers on either side of the ball. So I think we're at home, which we said last week. We do not play well at home against SEC schools. So
right.
I got the Tigers winning that game.
I've got Indiana winning and covering, if anybody wanted to know.
No, with your quarterback. Tell
the same thing I do every week.
Tell us about your new quarterback.
So here's the thing, without belaboring the point too much, Indiana's starting quarterback, we talked about it, Curtis Rourke, will not play this weekend. But Taven Jackson, who's Trace Jackson Davis's younger brother, anybody that followed Indiana foot or Indiana basketball will recognize that name. He was a former four-star recruit from Tennessee, transferred back into Indiana, whatever. He started some games last year. I just feel like this particular Indiana football team against a team like that, it just doesn't matter. Offensively, they are so well drilled. And Jackson is going to come right in and play. And he's not Curtis Rourke. We get that. But it might make the final score instead of 19 points, it might be 16 points. I think Indiana runs roughshod through Washington. And that's like the most sure I've been about a game with Indiana all season, and I hate to do that to my Hoosiers, but I feel like that's the truth. I think Indiana wins this game like 34-16 would be my best guess.
Well, what'd you say? What score?
I think Indiana wins like 34-16.
34-16.
Well, you said last week, I forgot exactly how it went on the podcast, but IU easily scores 35 points. And Jimmy and I were listening to it yesterday while we were working. And he laughed and he looked at me. He goes, I think they got 56, didn't they? I was like, they sure did. He goes, Travis is a little off. I said, he's still winning money and they're winning ball games. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, is Washington coming off a bye?
Yeah. The week before bye, they lost to Iowa 40-16. But the week before that, they did beat Michigan. I guess that's probably what their biggest win.
Yeah. Mm. And boy, Michigan is not very good.
I'm gonna tell you what. Maybe the best game. The best game of the weekend is LSU, Texas A&M. In my opinion, I mean they both have one loss.
Well, it's definitely one of the most important games from a
huge
playoff
game.
Standpoint.
It's at Texas A&M. That's a huge game at 7:30.
And A&M as a 2.5-point favorite.
I'm watching that one, yeah. And who? What are they favored by?
2.5.
2.5.
And really, I mean, the SEC, Arkansas, Mississippi State, not exactly a needle-moving game. Oklahoma, Ole Miss, same thing.
It's an off week. I mean, I'm just saying that's the best game by far on their slate.
I'm sure y'all are going to laugh at me, but I think BYU going to play at the Bounce House in Central Florida is something to keep an eye on. I know Central Florida is a bit of a letdown, but that's a tough place
too.
To go play.
I mean, Central Florida just barely lost this past week. They could have won that game.
They should have won that game.
So I think that's going to be definitely a tough game for BYU. I think BYU and Navy, I mean, so is Army on a bye? Are they? I don't see them. I guess they are.
I believe they are.
So they're on a bye. So Navy comes off a bye. And that Notre Dame game is going to be that'll be a hell of a game. I'm looking forward to that.
I think Navy played Charlotte last week.
Nevada, and then there's a Sunday game, Nevada-Hawaii.
Navy did play Charlotte
last week,
didn't they?
Yeah, they're not coming off a bye. They played Charlotte last week.
And I'm looking here. And
you can bet that Hawaii game on Sunday?
Why
Sparky.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
and
you?
And it's at midnight.
Oh, well.
Sparky
midnight,
will be in
midnight
bed.
On Sunday.
I will be in bed.
Yeah, we'll all be tuning in for that. And guys, I mean, I know it's a little bit shorter than we typically have gone, but there just wasn't as much to cram in this past week as we've had the last few weeks. Before
all the
we
bad
get,
teams are thinning out,
I
Travis.
Know.
They're all thinning out.
Before we get into the end of the show, I do want to remind everybody again, next week, 100th episode, come out the checks, hang out with us, have some cocktails with us. It will be a ton of fun. We will be putting more stuff on social media. But I want to remind everybody, if you're listening to the show right now, next Wednesday at Checks, we have the room at 6 o'clock. We are upstairs there in that little back area as you go up the stairs at Checks. It should be a ton of fun. With that being said.
I just bet the live under.
Freddie's betting live unders.
0-0. What do you think the live under is?
14.5. Okay.
Same Houston State.
So I'm going to start with, Tuna, and we are going to go last call. Tuna.
So I'm going to go right to picks. I'm going to take SMU, -11.5 over Duke. I like the SMU team a lot, and they're coming off a bye. Or no, they're not coming off a bye. They won 40-10 last week. Colorado, -5.5 against, Cincinnati at Colorado at night. We've seen what those environments look like. And then I'm going to do Texas A&M -2 over LSU. I'm going to keep betting against LSU until I get one right. So that's all I got.
Freddie.
I'm going to go. Let's see here. I'm going to go with the Notre Dame Navy under. That's just going to be one of my bets. I'm going to go with, where's the other one I liked? I had it right here.
Shh.
Oh, I'm gonna go with Illinois plus 21.5. Jody on
against Oregon.
Yeah, against Oregon. And then Friday night, BC plus 7.5. Gonna go with the Eagles.
All right, Sparky.
It's currently 6.5. I'll get yours down in a minute.
I texted them to you.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I was lost in my phone over here for a minute. Around the room real quick, the UK tip-off luncheon was yesterday, and Leanne Pope, Mark Pope's wife, was there as well, and they did a Q&A session with them. And it was something about the UFL-UK rivalry and the game and what it means and this and that. And she said, put it this way, our new house that we just bought in Lexington, we have a mole in the backyard that we're trying to kill. So we have since nicknamed it Cardinal. And I thought that was fantastic. So,
okay.
The other thing is we are looking for a new commissioner for our Blockout Fantasy Football League. I won my game this week. And I'm now 6-1, tied with a gentleman that lost to me yesterday. He's also 6-1, but he is number one in the league, and I'm number two in the league. So I looked up the you think it would be head-to-head is the tiebreaker. No, the commissioner set it to points four determines your ranking in the playoffs. So if any of the other 11 want to step up next year, be the commissioner, the job is open.
Uh-oh.
All right. I got Ohio minus 6 against Buffalo. I got James Madison.
Nice.
I got James Madison minus 24 over Southern Miss. And I'm taking Navy getting 13 points against Notre Dame. At home.
Awesome.
Okay.
Colin is taking Indiana minus the 6.5. He is taking Texas A&M minus the 2.5.
That's a good one.
And he is taking Vandy plus the 18.5 or whatever it is now. I think it might even be more than that now. I was going to take Illinois, and then I remembered that I don't take Illinois anymore, so I'm not touching that game, and I hope Oregon beats them 75-0.
Yeah.
I am also taking Indiana minus 6.5. I am also taking Navy plus the 12.5, and I'm taking Mississippi State in a game that means nothing to nobody.
Where's that? Oh, okay.
It's at Mississippi State.
To cover the 6.5 against Arkansas. And
interesting.
Those bets right there ought to tell you about everything you need to know about this week's slate of games, although there are some, maybe not marquee per se, but there are a lot of games that are going to be important as far as where teams shake out at the end of the year. And so at this point in the college football season, there really are very few games that don't mean anything. And that Mississippi State-Arkansas game is one of them, except for my betting standpoint. But, guys, appreciate you all being here. Don't forget, everybody, next Wednesday we will be at Checks 100th episode. Cannot wait for that. Should be tons of fun. Want to thank everybody for listening. If you enjoy the show, please go out and tell a friend. For Sparky, Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody, the big fellow of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and Mr. Moonwalker himself, the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying so long, everybody.